The satirical newspaper The Onion has put out two editions dealing with life after September 11th. Headlines have included, U.S. urges Bin Laden to form nation it can attack, American life turns into bad Jerry Bruckheimer movie, and President urges calm, restraint among nation's ballad singers. The Onion is published online at theonion.com. It's also sold at newsstands. Their pre-September 11th work is collected in a new book called Dispatches from the Tenth Circle. I spoke with editor-in-chief Robert Siegel and head writer Todd Hansen. Here's Siegel reading a news and brief item that he wrote.
The headline is, Bush Sr. apologizes to son for funding Bin Laden in 80s. Midland, Texas. Former President George Bush issued an apology to his son Monday for advocating the CIA's mid-80s funding of Osama bin Laden, who at the time was resisting the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Quote, I'm sorry, son, Bush told President George W. Bush. We thought it was a good idea at the time because he was part of a group fighting communism in Central Asia. We called them, quote, freedom fighters back then. I know it sounds weird. You sort of had to be there. Bush is still deliberating over whether to tell his son about the whole supporting Saddam Hussein against Iran thing.
What was it like for you at The Onion to get your bearings after the attack and to figure out how you wanted to respond as a publication?
Well, to be honest, it was almost impossible to do that. We made the decision immediately that we weren't going to go ahead and publish an issue that week. None of us as comedy writers had anything funny to say. I think many comedy writers have had the same response. Then in discussing what we should do, when we came back the following week, there were many, many hours of discussion that went into deciding what to do. And I think when it started, we were all sort of assuming that we would do material that was not related to the news, that was not topical, and that would be just something that wouldn't touch on it. I think most people have had that same reaction. That seems to be what most of the other comedy sources have done. However, even though that was our initial assumption, we then realized that the more we talked about it, it became more and more obvious that we wanted to make some sort of response because it seemed like any other material would be kind of irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So by the time we were done with those discussions, we had arrived at the conclusion that we would do something to respond to the events of September 11th. So it was a scary situation to be in, but it seemed like it was the only thing we could do.
One of the targets of your satire in The Onion is the hijackers' beliefs. And I'd like you, Robert, to read Hijackers Surprised to Find Selves in Hell.
Okay. The hijackers who carried out the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon expressed confusion and surprise Monday to find themselves in the lowest plane of Nar, Islam's hell. Quote, I was promised I would spend eternity in paradise, being fed honeyed cakes by 67 virgins in a tree-lined garden, if only I would fly the airplane into one of the Twin Towers, said Mohammed Atta, one of the hijackers of American Airlines Flight 11, between attempts to vomit up the wasps, hornets, and live coals infesting his stomach. But instead, I am being fed the boiling feces of traitors by malicious, laughing Ifrit. Is this to be my reward for destroying the enemies of my faith?
Robert, what was the editing process for that? Maybe you could tell us who came up with it and, you know, when it passed your desk. Were you comfortable with it right away? Was there any considerations you had before publishing it?
Well, the idea was mine, so I was comfortable with it. I looked at it as one of the rare opportunities in this whole thing to actually take a traditional nasty Onion-style shot at someone. I didn't expect that we'd be flooded. I didn't think our switchboards would be flooded by people outraged that we were
showing disrespect to the hijackers.
That we were fictionally torturing the hijackers. It seemed like a great opportunity to do our more traditional the type of humor, one of the types of humor we do, but the type of humor that we felt like we could not do in this issue. So I felt pretty good about it. And I felt like it was I wanted a broad range of things in this issue, of styles of humor and broad range of subjects to try to capture the whole thing. And there were a lot of very sentimental articles in the issue. And this was one where it was sort of meant to be a crowd pleaser in that it was, the kind of thing that people could sort of cheer is the wrong word, but you know.
It was a cathartic moment, I think, for us to just deal with rage.
Robert, another piece I'd like to ask you to read, and this one is headlined, Dinty Moore Breaks Long Silence on Terrorism with Full Page Ad. I think this is one you came up with.
Yeah.
Tell us about the inspiration for it, and then maybe read the piece for us.
The inspiration is pretty simple. It's just even still, every day since the attacks, you've seen full-page ads in USA Today, in the New York Times, from every single company in America expressing their sympathy and support for the victims of this tragedy and speaking out against terrorism, condemning the attacks. And in some cases, I mean, we're not really – I mean, are we as a nation really wondering how – you know, a particular company really feels about these texts? I would assume that everyone feels sympathy and support for the victims and condemns terrorism. Dinty Moore Breaks Long Silence on Terrorism with Full Page Ad. New York. Nearly 2 weeks after the attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon, the makers of Dinty Moore Beef Stew finally weighed in on the tragedy Monday with a full page ad in USA Today. Quote, "We at Dinty Moore extend our deepest sympathies to all who have been affected by the terrible events of September 11th, 2001, read the ad, which pictured a can of Dinty Moore beef stew at the bottom of the page. The entire Dinty Moore family is outraged by this heinous crime and stand firmly behind our leaders. Dinty Moore joins Kenoki Heating and Cooling and Tri-State Jacuzzi in condemning terrorism." You know, and it's sort of a, it's along the same lines as, you know, Rosie O'Donnell donating $1 million and then making sure, you know, and then sending out a big press release announcing that she has donated $1 million. I mean, if you want to donate $1 million, donate $1 million, but you don't need to, you don't need to take credit for it and show the world how good, you know, how, what a good person you are. And so it just feels like they're taking advantage to some extent. So.
But I also think that that part of the humor in the piece that Rob just read is not so much attacking the hypocrisy of Dinty Moore, the fictionalized version of Dinty Moore in that story.
And we have nothing against Dinty Moore specifically.
Yeah, as it is also just reflecting the sense of hope of helplessness that everybody feels. You know, because you don't know what to do, so you take out an ad and like, "We, the makers of Dinty Moore Beef Stew, condemn terrorism." It's like, well, it's kind of a futile gesture, but I think everyone can relate to it. It's not necessarily an unsympathetic thing either, because I think everyone can relate to that feeling of like, well, I don't know what to do, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Robin, I'm wondering about some of the ideas that you rejected because you thought either that the tone was wrong or it was inappropriate in some way, that you found it offensive in some way, or it just wasn't working.
Well, we rejected a lot. The headlines that really would have been wrongheaded and truly offensive, we didn't even come up with. I think we all, before we started brainstorming ideas, we talked about what our basic take on this should be, and we all really agreed that we should, to some extent, sacrifice jokes for the larger message. So there weren't even really that many jokes pitched that were just way, way off base in terms of offensiveness or target. There were a lot that sort of towed the line that just to be absolutely sure we would cut. I don't know, Todd, can I do you think I should give examples or just?
Well, it's hard to do that.
Like the quadrigon.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'll say one that almost got on was the intent behind the joke was again to be something to reflect the way everyone felt so helpless. And the headline was "America Stronger Than Ever, Say Quadragon Officials." And
oh gosh, right.
And, instead of the Pentagon.
Pentagon. It was and we thought it was funny and sad, but then as soon as we had actually written it up on the board to select it, we're like, no, we cannot use that because people are going to think we're having a laugh at the expense of the people in the Pentagon, which we would never, ever want to do and would never even think up.
Does more harm than good. So.
And then we realized, you know, even though that's not what we mean by the joke, we don't know if other people take it that way. And even still, you know, there are some people who have taken the jokes that we did do the wrong way. I mean, just because since it's satire, no one ever knows how sarcastic you're being or what you're being sarcastic about. So it's a very risky thing.
You have a new book called Dispatches from the Tenth Circle, The Best of the Onion. And this is the second collection of pieces from the Onion. And there's one piece in this book that, at least one piece that I noticed, that certainly relates to terrorism. And I'm curious how you feel about it now. The headline is, Terrorist Extremely Annoyed by Delayed Flight. The dateline is Chicago. His flight from O'Hare to LaGuardia delayed more than 6 hours. Hamas militant and would-be suicide bomber Nidal Hanani vowed Friday never again to fly United Airlines. Quote, I do not have time for this, said Hanani, seated at a Burger King in Concourse C, a plastic explosives-filled duffel bag at his feet. My jihad against the West was supposed to be carried out shortly after takeoff at 8:35 this morning. It is now 2:50 p.m. How much longer must I sit around this airport like an idiot before God's will is done? How do you feel about that one now?
Well, it's something we definitely would not have run in a post September 11th issue, but I don't feel the need to apologize for it, seeing as it was written 2 years ago.
The question of appropriateness in satire always comes down to what the target of the satire is. In that case, the target of the satire is, I think,
the airlines.
Is all of the articles about
air travel,
about business travelers and how terribly inconvenienced they are.
Right.
And it's contrasting the sort of trite and mundane frustrations of, oh, I've been sitting in an airport for 3 hours, with, you know, the life and death, you know, horribleness of a suicide bomber. And I mean, it's not even really about terrorism as much as it's about just people complaining, business travelers complaining about airport inconvenience.
I wonder if you have any observations you want to share about how other comics and satirists who you've been paying attention to are dealing with this.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that When the White House press secretary says that Bill Maher should watch what he says, that there's a pretty blatant irony there in that, you know, they're saying this is a time when freedom is under attack and under threat, under, you know, there's a threat to our freedoms. So therefore, at this time, you know, watch what you say.
Let's tear up the Constitution.
I mean, we live in a free country, and if we want to defend our free country against those who hate our free country, then we should remember that Bill Maher has the right to say whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Robert Siegel is the editor-in-chief of the satirical newspaper The Onion. Todd Hansen is the head writer. The Onion is published online at theonion.com. A new Best of the Onion book has been published called Dispatches from the Tenth Circle.